Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Welcome to another episode of Design and Influence. We're here at ArchIT. We're an IT company for architecture firms. I don't think I've mentioned that before in the intro, but our goal and hope is to provide better information for you to run your businesses better, and some of it from a technology standpoint, some of it from the business standpoint. That's what this broadcast is all about. You by now, if you followed us or watched our stuff, you already have met and fell in love with Willard and his information about BIM. Willard is expert in BIM, specifically Graphisoft. He's helped convert a lot of people, a lot of other companies from, you know, older CADs into BIM. And he's also a trained architect. Willard, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
You are the show right now. Man, today we got a big list of stuff to go through with you guys, and specifically related to steps required to convert from CAD to from AutoCAD. Say we're doing AutoCAD to ARCHICAD, right?
Yep.
AutoCAD to ARCHICAD, and you know, Will was kind enough to write it all out. And so we're just going to go and do this first episode in the series of converting. It's going to be around more of a high level. When you start planning your conversion or even question whether you should or shouldn't or what it's going to take, we'll cover 11 steps today of how to plan that conversion process so you can at least get started thinking along those lines. The future shows will dive into each individual. We'll deep dive at each individual step and give you a lot more details. But today, we're just going to provide framework, right, Willard? That's the idea?
Yeah. Just a high-level overview of kind of the steps that could be desirable as you look to convert from AutoCAD to ARCHICAD, or really any platform to ARCHICAD.
Very good. I like that. Agnostic. Okay. So let's start flying. Strap in your seatbelt, buckled up. Number one through 11. Let's go with one, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, as you're kind of progressing down this path, I think it's important for you to evaluate your project requirements. And what that really means is understanding kind of your workflow, your backlog, and assessing when is a good time to start that conversion process. Because you might have projects that are kind of in different stages, and some of those projects might not be optimal candidates for trying to start a new platform and kind of a new file, or you know, that entire kind of area of like transition. So evaluate your project, the projects that are coming along online, and when is an optimal time. I know it might not be super comfortable sometimes to think about like when a good time is, because you know the time is now, but then kind of dissecting what projects are going to be the best candidate for converting, and that you're not going to feel too stressed out about changing over platforms.
There's a lot here to unpack. I just want to start unpacking, but I will not do that. I will stay disciplined, because we're going to have the episode dedicated to this. This is very, very interesting and fairly deep, I imagine, part. And since it's number one, like deciding the when of it is kind of crucial. And I think we can help people out with getting the deeper understanding of this, but we will not do this. Maybe if you could just give us just a taste, when is a good time? When is a bad time in general?
I think that if you were looking at like a schedule of your projects, or kind of a waterfall, kind of maybe more of an agile approach to your project itself, I think between phases, so if you're going from schematic design to design development, or from design development into construction documents, that gives you a little bit more breathing room in terms of the time it's going to take to successfully convert. And the most optimal time to convert would be when you're starting a project. So when you have just, you know, signed the contract and you're about to, you know, jump into the schematic design or the programming, that would be probably the most optimal time because you're not having to deal with legacy decisions or file types, and you're able to start with a clean slate.
Gotcha. And let's go to the number two, I guess, training and getting familiar with the system.
Yeah. So I would say training and familiarization. So I would pick some key people within your organization, or if that's yourself, starting to familiarize yourself with the application, the user interface, kind of the nuances within the software. So that would be potentially taking a, you know, like a training course or something of that nature. LinkedIn Learning has some good courses, and there's some other courses out there that could just help you get better acquainted with the software. And, you know, in that, one of the things that I think is a very good way to kind of commit yourself to learning it is just downloading ARCHICAD and putting it on your machine and doing some of these training activities, whether you have a personal trainer or you're doing online training, but just getting familiar kind of with the layout of the application and then understanding your internal workflow and how that will dovetail with the adoption of ARCHICAD.
Both of these steps are pre-signing agreement with ARCHICAD. I'm assuming this is kind of preparational. Third step, or your third step that you outline is data migration. Now, is that post-contract and you're moving data now?
Yeah. I think the step two, training and familiarization, you probably are getting closer to committing to, you know, a few seats of ARCHICAD. And then definitely with step three, data migration, you're definitely wanting to have some valid licenses of ARCHICAD so that you're, because with the demo mode, you're not able to save. I'm not sure, there might be some plugins that require the license to be active, but definitely with data migration, you're now getting into converting files, bringing them across from your legacy software into ARCHICAD. And at that point, you definitely want to have a license of ARCHICAD so that you're able to save kind of your work, understand kind of the translation and, you know, being able to review the information and kind of create milestones of that translation process.
Now, more general question, is this transition a more or less cutover, or this is more in concurrent in parallel? So you're running AutoCAD on some of the projects, you're finishing those up, and then you're converting them, as you said, between stages. When they come to that favorable point, you convert them into ARCHICAD, while some architects already are working on ARCHICAD on some of the projects. Is that how it usually works?
Yeah, I think that there would be, or there should be, a little bit of overlap just because, you know, if you are exporting files from your legacy application, you still want to be able to get into those environments and be able to manipulate the information potentially. And I say that with a caveat because ARCHICAD actually has a very robust ability to review or translate information without the necessity to have like the legacy software operational. So for comfort level, yeah, you should have some overlap. And then especially with kind of how the licensing works with Autodesk as well as with ARCHICAD, you probably want to time that transition with your subscription with Autodesk so that, you know, if your Autodesk license for, you know, a few seats ends in May, then you would want to you know, start the purchasing process of ArchiCAD and give yourself, you know, a few weeks to be able to still use your legacy software and then start to get up to speed with ArchiCAD.
Got it. Gotcha. Okay. Number four, model reconstructions. Reconstruction. What do you mean by that? And I mean, I know what you mean by that, but what give us some of the high level here on this step.
Yeah. So this would be after you have started the migration process. Now you are, you know, potentially rebuilding some of the information in your new environment. So if you have AutoCAD files or something of that nature, now you're bringing them in, you're overlaying them, and you're basically tracing that information and getting that information into ArchiCAD in a native format. So even, you know, it's interesting with kind of the robust nature of ArchiCAD's ability to translate information, there is, you know, a possibility that you could, you know, within a very short amount of time, take a file that was created in AutoCAD and recreate it, even though you haven't necessarily applied kind of the parametric nature that ArchiCAD is based on. So that's one consideration. But if you are planning on using the file for an extended period of time and it's not just kind of triage, then you're going to start to want to remodel it in native ArchiCAD objects and tools and things like that, so that both for file efficiency and functionality, and then being able to leverage kind of all the components that ArchiCAD brings.
Gotcha. All right, let's just shift over to template creation, number five.
So this is an interesting one, and it can kind of be a little bit nebulous because, you know, within architectural or engineering kind of practices, having a template is very beneficial to your efficiency. So understanding kind of what you have, and certain firms or organizations have a, you know, sometimes a document or kind of a roadmap of what their drawings look like, the fonts that they're using, and things of that nature. So you do want to spend a little bit of time on the look and feel and functionality of your template. And creating a template is actually a really great way to better understand the capabilities of the application itself. So it's kind of both a functional part where you're creating something that's going to be leveraged over time that will increase the efficiency of your production capabilities, but it also will allow key stakeholders to be able to understand more clearly the functionality of the application through the creation of these templates.
Gotcha. So there's a lot more here to unpack as well. We'll leave that for a future episodes. Let's shift to number six, collaborative setup. We talked a lot about that in our previous shows.
Yeah. So this, you know, definitely dovetails with kind of the template creation. It also dovetails with, you know, the data migration and kind of evaluating your project. But the collaboration setup, you want to kind of create a mind map of your organizational structure or kind of the roles and responsibilities, and start to identify key team members who are going to have the ability to have like administrative rights to, you know, certain things like templates or even files that are in the cloud or even within your kind of local network. And then you're going to want to, this definitely helps the team understand more about the application, because if one person has kind of admin rights to a file, and then another person is, you know, providing support or drafting support within that file, you're going to want to establish those roles and responsibilities. And then also within that, you're going to want to talk about how you communicate, you know, within the file, because there is a messaging kind of capability inside of the file. You also have the ability to, you know, create markups and things like that. So you're going to want to understand, you know, who's creating the markups, who's, you know, transmitting information inside of the file itself, and how that structure starts to evolve as you kind of leverage kind of all the capabilities within ARCHICAD.
Number seven is your documentation and drawing generation stage. Talk us through what that means, what that looks like.
Yeah, so, you know, documentation and drawing generation, you know, is a key component to construction documentation, or the practice of, you know, architecture and engineering. And this kind of dovetails with kind of the template creation. But now you're getting into specific types of documents that you're creating, whether that's a schematic design level set of documents, or that's a construction level set of documents, you're going to start to want to better understand how that information is being generated onto the sheets themselves, what layer combinations or layers that are shown in different views. And even in the template creation, you can start to outline all of these documents and the layers and combinations and the views and things like that, so that it's much easier for somebody who's less experienced to start or hit the ground running when they open a file for the first time. They have limited experience with ARCHICAD. They're going to feel more comfortable in the production aspect of creating documents, because the views and plans have been kind of predefined to allow them to be most efficient. They're only looking or creating information on the layers that they need to be. The information is showing up on the sheets as it needs to be, and it's broken up within the phases correctly. And then ultimately, this will ensure that your production is efficient. It's going to reduce the errors. It's going to, you know, provide your team the confidence that they need to be able to create information very quickly. And ultimately, with kind of all these steps, even, you know, no matter where you decide within a project to adopt ARCHICAD, your team is going to see the efficiencies of kind of the setup through this kind of template generation kind of process. And ultimately, that's going to, you know, ensure that the job captains or project managers who are overseeing the project are also seeing the information that they want to see. And you're not necessarily having to recreate the wheel every time you're generating or in the process of generating the documents that you need.
I'm just itching to ask questions, but I'm going to hold off. There's like, yes, it's a lot there that we can add color on and clarify in future episodes. But step eight, successfully converting from AutoCAD to ARCHICAD. Step number eight, we're getting there. We're going to get through 11, but step number eight is data exchange and interoperability. Can you talk us through that, please, Willard?
Yeah, data exchange and interoperability. I mean, this is, you know, one of the fundamental pieces is that you can be creating rich, robust information in this this silo, but if you can't share that with your consultants, with the clients, with the building officials, then you are kind of limiting yourself. So, you know, one part is creating the documents, the other part is sharing that information, or one part's creating the model and then sharing the model so that, you know, your civil team or your MEP team have this robust data set that they're able to leverage. And one other kind of piece to this that's maybe a little bit more obscure is the fact that when you start telling your consultants or asking them if it's okay to share a IFC model, or if it's okay to share, you know, different types of model or parametric information with them, you know, the light bulb turns on for them. And then they're saying, wow, you know, this team is now using very advanced applications that ultimately are going to save me time and produce a higher quality product, just because now they are using or leveraging more advanced exchange methods, or they're providing me with a model that is designed to be interoperable, so that now the mechanical engineer, instead of just looking at a two-dimensional set of AutoCAD plans, if they have the ability, now they're looking at a three-dimensional parametric model that they can start to drop in their information, avoid structural elements and things like that, and ultimately saving time, you know, increasing your return on your investment, you know, creating a better product. And ARCHICAD is, you know, by far one of the best platforms out there, and has been for a long time, in the ability to share information, whether it's two-dimensional information or three-dimensional information, or even information that can be used for analysis and other more advanced kind of collaboration capabilities.
Gotcha. Very cool. Number nine, quality assurance testing.
Quality assurance. So now you've converted the project, you have a template that you're using, you have the layouts, the drawings and things like that. Now you're able to go back and say, was that conversion as accurate or potentially more accurate than what I was doing previously? And, you know, for me, it's hands down, if you're converting from AutoCAD or something of that nature into ARCHICAD, other than, you know, maybe the kind of learning curve, you know, of smaller kind of elements of accuracy within the translation, your product, your product is going to be far more accurate and of a higher quality. And it's just, I think the part in that that's a little bit deceiving is, to a certain degree, you know, it's a very easy turnkey solution, but on another degree, it's understanding the robustness of the application and not getting, I guess, feeling like you're stuck with kind of this out of the box solution, I guess, if that makes sense. There's a lot of customization. There's a lot of ways to get to what that final product looks like, but definitely when you are ready to assess the quality of the project and, you know, visualize it or look at what your end product is, you're going to be, you know, much more satisfied. And then as you kind of tighten the screws on that, you know, it's going to be far superior than anything that you've experienced. And so this is a good step to kind of, you know, reap the rewards of the work that you put into this process. And then also it's kind of a good check valve, you know, in terms of saying, you know, I've gotten to this point and you know, this is where I'm at and this is where I need to go. So it's a good place to assess where your efforts have paid off and then where you might need to, you know, learn a little bit more or dive deeper into, you know, areas that that might be needed for you to realize kind of the ultimate path that you have set yourself on.
Where are we on a timeline here, Willard? Is this like 6 months post-conversion, 3 months post-conversion? Where are we at on step number nine, the quality?
Well, I think that also that all depends on your dedication, the time that you're going to put forth, the team that you are using to kind of spearhead this. But let's see, I would say, just look at some of this. I would say 1 through 3 are within the first day. I would say model reconstruction. I would give that probably, it depends, just in terms of model reconstruction, I would give that at most a week. And then I think template creation, I think that that is one of the, I think template creation probably is, it's something that's probably not discussed in length, or there's not a lot of information out there about what the pitfalls or opportunities are with template creation. So I would probably limit your template creation to no more than, you know, 40 hours at most for the first round until you have a very, you know, a better understanding. I think collaborative setup or collaboration setup, drawing generation, I would say overall this entire process should not take more than, I would say, I want to say 80 hours, just because I think that that would be, and that would be 80 hours for one person. I would probably split that into potentially, you know, 40 hours for two people, potentially, and maybe 120 hours for the entire process. You know, that would be a very deep dive. And then I think in that there's some economies of scale where some of the things that you are working on or translating are going to be used and leveraged in future projects. So I think for the first project, you probably, I would say that, you know, an 80 hour, maybe 40, if you were really pushing pretty hard to do this. Yeah, I don't know, because I'm trying to think about like what the biggest pieces to this.
Typically when a company is converting, when you say 80, 40, so that's dedicated hours, but are those compressed into the first 2 weeks and you basically come out after 2 weeks and you're fully done? Or typically organizations will take their time investing those hours, you know, over 3 months period or something like that. How does it usually work? What's the best practice?
Yeah, I would say some of it is, I would probably put like 20 hours of dedicated time for, you know, one person to start a project and start the conversion process. Mm-hmm. I think the collaboration setup, document generation probably goes with kind of template creation, but template creation, that would almost be something that is a reoccurring and like a non-fixed state. And the only reason I say this is because one thing that I've seen that's a good practice, it is a little bit time consuming in the template creation, is that every version of like the software that comes out. So say we're on ARCHICAD 27 right now, and then 28 comes out, a good practice, and it's not necessary, but a good practice is to start from fresh in your template creation and kind of rework it. It's not necessary. And, you know, I guess what I'm getting hung up on is the reason I say that is that there are like new features. And sometimes with those new features, the template that you have created doesn't necessarily translate kind of the capabilities to that new feature. And that sometimes the only way to best understand kind of the missing pieces in your template is to kind of rebuild it. But that definitely isn't like a necessity. It's just kind of a good practice. So I say template creation is kind of one of these things that is revisited on a yearly basis, or maybe even a bi-yearly basis. You know, every 6 months you kind of just refresh and relook at your template. And then I think the rest of it, I think some of the other things are kind of included in the template creation or just understanding kind of the layout. So I would say that maybe I'm being a little too conservative or too liberal with this, but I would say 20 hours to convert a project. And then I would put, you know, maybe another 20 hours to kind of the template creation, the collaboration setup, drawing generation. I think that kind of falls into kind of the earlier processes. But the rest of it, I think, is just, I think 20 hours per project that would be kind of refreshing, creating a new project. And I think, you know, 20 hours kind of with the rest of the setup. So I think 40 hours, and I think I would probably condense at least the first 20 hours into a cadence that ensures that the project actually gets into the application. So, you know, not letting it sit too long. Because I think one issue that does come up is stagnation a little bit. So if you're not totally committed, or you're somewhat committed, but you're kind of not giving it enough time, or you're not allowing enough time for you to actually commit to that direction, then it can be something that's on the shelf and you kind of revisit it every now and then. And then that affects adoption and kind of the efficiencies that you can achieve. And, you know, I think one thing that I learned early on was I was doing a lot of freelance support for architects. And this was just, I probably had been using AutoCAD for not that long, but I was supporting a project, and my job was to basically create a ton of details. And it was like, I don't know, it was insane. It was probably like 200 details or more. Yeah, it was probably closer to 500 now that I think about it. But I was pretty comfortable with AutoCAD, and I also had ArchiCAD, but the architect that I was working with, and I asked him, I was like, well, can I just use AutoCAD? Because I'm faster with it. And he said, you can do everything that you can do in AutoCAD, in ArchiCAd, and in a way that would make it seem like you're using AutoCAD. And after that, I realized that all I needed to do was just commit to using it. And that once I made that kind of mental switch of not going back and forth, I could be as efficient or more efficient using ArchiCAD. So I think that's one thing just to be cognizant of, is that, you know, you're only going to get to the end goal if you commit yourself to spending some time, you know, going through kind of the uncomfortable kind of pieces of it. And then you're going to see, you know, results very quickly.
Okay. Well, let's round this out on the commitment stage of things. Number 10, the last one. I mistakenly said there's 11 steps. There might be 11. We can conjure one up, but there's 10. There's 10. So we'll just stick with 10, unless you come up with 11. But ongoing training and support. What does that look like? What kind of investment of time required for something like this? Again, let's do high level this thing. Then we cover each one in more details, but tell us more about this number 10 step.
So I think training and support, in terms of commitment, I think if you're coming from, you know, a parametric application, you should really commit to about 8 hours of just training and, you know, exploration within the application that's just dedicated for learning the application. And, you know, there's a lot of resources out there, not to plug my own stuff, but
please do.
There's a LinkedIn Learning course. It's called the ArchiCAD Essentials. And that's about a 10-hour course. And that level of commitment allows you to fully understand the application, its capabilities. And after that, I think that, you know, it's like anything else, you know, you are, once you have that kind of foundational understanding of the application, I even, you know, if you're coming from Revit, you know, I would cut that in half. It's about 4 hours of just dedicated understanding because you already understand kind of parametric tools. And then, you know, after you've kind of got that foundational understanding, you know, you can go as deep as you want. And there's a lot of great resources out there. ArchiCAD or Graphisoft has a really good kind of help aspect to it that allows you to both in the application and on their website to both, you know, better understand the product. And then there's also a really robust kind of community. So they have like a forum that you can ask questions. And when I was, I guess the term is cutting my teeth on ArchiCAD and learning it, I was, you know, on these forums, you know, asking questions, trying and then reviewing, you know, things that I might be struggling with. I was using, there's a very good help resource within ArchiCAD that provides, you know, basically all the technical kind of questions and answers or solutions that you might need. And then, you know, through like ArchIT or other platforms, you know, you're able to do, you know, in-person training, online training, or things like that, that definitely can round out your understanding of the application, make you more efficient, and help you achieve the goals that you're set forth.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, 10 steps for successfully converting from AutoCAD to ArchiCAD. And, you know, we'll future episodes, we'll dive in into a lot more. Willard, thank you very much for putting these together. This is a great roadmap that we can keep on exploring for the next couple of months as we continue these this series. You know, all of you watching, listening, hearing us, if you need help with your IT, get ArchIT.com. LinkedIn course, we'll reference, we'll link it out in the article, but can they just simply find it by going to LinkedIn and putting your name in, or?
I think so, yeah.
All right, we'll double check that. But LinkedIn, Willard Williams, he did all the training classes, so consider that. You know, when you say there's a lot of training resources, it's almost like when there's too much, there's nothing. Like, you don't know where to start. You don't know which one is better. You get like paralysis analysis or whatever the other way around. But I like to direct people to something we recommend, and they can decide from there. So I think that's what hearing you, talking to you, getting to know you, I mean, I would listen to you. You know, I would take your courses, so they should as well. But if you guys need IT help, we hear it's getarchit.com. It's what we do all day. We help architects, designers, and engineers run their IT so they can focus on doing their best work, or you can focus on doing your best work while we take care of the boring, the mundane, the technical, the switches, you know. Anyway, thanks a lot for watching. Willard, thank you again, and we'll see you all on the next episode.
Thanks.
Cheers.